JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
Life in the old employment market there.
Yeah, look, we spoke yesterday morning about the labour market. You know, specifically, I was talking about those technical details, you know, about how the Reserve Bank measures inflationary pressure in the labour market. And I highlighted the fact that the inflationary pressure coming from the labour market is easing. It's easing quite materially. But yesterday, we got another view into the employment market or the labour market. And this was via the Westpac McDermott Miller employment confidence release. So it's a sort of different lens, a different view. Now, at the headline level, employment confidence has improved, which is fascinating because it feels like the employment market is sort of headed for tougher times. But this read suggests that that's not a slam dunk. At the headline level, the index was up 4.7 points to 104.4 in the March quarter, noted as a quarterly survey, so it's not high frequency. It sort of gets interesting when you break it down into the constituent survey questions that they ask, Mike. So they have what's called a current employment conditions index. Now, it has fallen, not much, 1.6 points, but it is lower. Current job opportunities, it's also falling, fell 3.7 points, and it is in negative territory. It's minus 12.3, as is the expected job opportunities index, although that has improved, it's still a negative. Now, the authors of the release highlight that current job opportunities outcome because that question, that index, that sub-index, has tended to provide a pretty good lead on where the unemployment rate is going to go. And so that has now fallen, that job opportunities outcome, that has fallen for six straight quarters. So that in itself lends considerable weight to the view that the unemployment rate will rise, even though the rise we've seen so far, admittedly, has been quite gradual, quite restrained. Look, what's a little hard to reconcile is that the workers' sense of job security in this index has improved, but the media landscape, as you know, you and I talk about, is not short of stories of layoffs, restructurings, redundancies. So we're going to have to wait and see how that one unfolds, Mike. We will have to wait and see.
All right. Speaking of waiting to see midday today, what do you reckon's coming?
Well, this is a budget policy. Are you excited? Are you excited about this, Mike?
Cannot even put it into words.
So this budget policy statement, well, what to expect? First, what we won't get, you're not going to get detail. So you're not going to get a detailed fiscal outlook. You have to wait for May. You have to wait for the actual budget for that. So from sort of the market, financial markets point of view, very interested in seeing, you know, a detailed forecast bond program, how much more, if in fact they're going to have to borrow more, how much more. We won't get that. What we should get is we should get things like confirmation that they'll work within the spending allowances that they set out in the half-yearly fiscal update, indication of savings that they'll be consistent with what was indicated in that mini budget. I'd like to think that we'll get some indication of the Treasury economic forecast, maybe not the numbers, but the direction of travel. I think there'll be a little bit more discussion about that. They impact, of course, on projected government revenue. So the question is, what's the damage? I don't think we'll get the specific numbers. I'm asking the question whether we will get told when the projected return to surplus will be, because I'm forever the optimist. There will, of course, be the focus on the proposed tax cuts. Expect them to be confirmed again. There would appear to be reasonable emphasis on addressing the infrastructure deficit. The challenge, of course, will be doing that within the constraints. Mike, if you go back to the 16th of March, Nicola Willis gave a speech. The Minister of Finance gave a speech. They did three sort of broad statements. The first one was lower personal income taxes, drive more resources to frontline services and infrastructure. Secondly, drive more value from government spending. Thirdly, drive harder for real economic growth. So I think they will be the three key headlines. So at 1 p.m. today, Mike, you can sit down with your nuts or your turmeric latte or a cheeky Pinot Noir or whatever your Wednesday 1 p.m. tipple is, and all will be revealed.
Good times. What are the numbers?
Lads, looking quite good, actually. European markets were all higher overnight, and at the moment, the US markets are all slightly in slight positive territory. The Dow Jones is up 0.2%, 39,391. The S&P 500 also up 0.2%. That's 10 basis points, 5,228. And the NASDAQ up 0.25%, 16,423. As I said, the European markets, the FTSE 100, 7,930. That was up 13. The Nikkei was down very small, down 16 points, still above 40,398. Shanghai Composite, 3,031. The ASX 200 yesterday gave back 0.4%, 7780, and the NZX 50 also gave back a little bit of ground, but still above 12,000, 12,031, that's 0.29%. For Kiwi dollar, still lurking around the 60 cent level against the US, 0.6007, 0.9191 against the Aussie, 0.5548 euro, 0.4756 against the quid, 91.02 Japanese yen. Gold, still strong, $2,176, and Brent crude, little changed, $86.53.
Look forward to your company tomorrow, Andrew Kelleher, jmiwealth.co.nz.